Many of you know that Rob is recovering from the flu, and I understand that maybe Candy has it now. We hope not. But the children are here, I think. I think they're doing all right. So this is the end of a sermon series that Rob was in the process of bringing to us, beginning at the end of December and coming through January and February. If you have not been with us before or in a while, this church changed its name under God's direction in December from Hillsong Church, a Baptist fellowship, to Hillside Church, a Baptist fellowship. There's a long story with that, and I won't tell that today, but there are people here who could enlighten you some about that. But it has all been by God's direction. We know that. Well, in the sermon series that Rob was preaching, he discovered that many places in Scripture, there are passages and stories that took place on a mountain or a hillside. Who knew? And he was preaching based on those texts. He was helping us see in the stories of Gideon, in the Sermon on the Mount, in other passages, Elijah the prophet, that there were circumstances, there were situations, there were opportunities and challenges in those stories that are ours also, and helping us identify ways that we could learn, as we want to always, from Scripture, and take those truths and apply them to our lives. And I think more than that, as individuals, but as a church, as we step into this new identity as Hillside. For you recall that when God changed the names of people in Scripture, it was to give them a new identity, give them a new purpose, give them a new mission. And we fully feel that here at Hillside. So I'm kind of continuing the sermon series because, you see, Corinth, the church, the city to whom Paul was writing in this text, wasn't on a mountain. I think there was a big hunk of rock behind the city, but basically it was a coastal city, an important, busy place with a couple of harbors. So you get the picture. It's on the ocean, but this'll work, won't it? Anyway, I think that the teaching that Paul is giving in this passage is something that God desires for us to hear and learn from today. So would you join me in prayer, please? Lord, we do not even pretend to know all of your ways. Your wisdom far exceeds ours. But Lord, we also know that as we come to know you, you show yourself to us. You help us learn things about you that can strengthen our lives, that can help us share that with people we love who don't yet know you. And so God, in this time, we are anticipating that you're going to speak in the ways that you know best. We want to hear. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Many of you know that I am married to an engineer. My husband John is a mechanical engineer, and that means not that he drives a train, which I think our kids would have loved when they were little if he'd been a train engineer, but he designs heating and air conditioning systems for buildings. Very complicated heating and air conditioning designs for buildings because he designs things for schools. He designed the heating and air conditioning system for the desert pavilion at the North Carolina Zoo. If you ever go in there, trying to keep a Sonoran desert aspect in a humid state like North Carolina, that takes a lot of machinery to get that done. does labs, hospitals has been what he's done most recently. And he's beginning to transition from full-time engineering to working fewer days a week. Not yet ready to use that R word, retirement, but he's, you know, gradually moving in that direction. And in the process, God has brought him to a group called the North Carolina Interfaith Power and Light. This is a group which, among the many things they do, is they provide free energy audits for churches. John has always been interested in energy conservation. That's always been a passion of his. And so now he's finding that he can do this and be of help to churches. We know, you and I know, we pay our energy bills where we live, or if you have a business, you pay those bills. Saving energy saves money. Saving energy is good for our environment. And so this is an important thing that John has found to do. He recently did an energy audit for this church building. And I learned from him that we use electricity and natural gas in this church, and that on average, our monthly bill for all of that is $1,500. Good information to have. John is interested in helping the church, and the deacons will be working on this. David Singh is important for this because he and Tom Ross have good handyman skills, so they can do some things to help us save energy. This is about the building. This is the power that the building uses. And the building's important because we have been blessed with this building and we share this building. There are groups in our community who can use this building at no charge. There are also groups that like to hold events here and they pay rent. So we are really blessed to have this space that we can share with the community. We have people in our church who help facilitate that. Of course, Dina does. An event was held here yesterday, a funeral for someone, and they needed this space. That meant Chris Hollingsworth came to work the sound system. We're being a good neighbor in doing that. We're blessed to have that. So that's Hillsong the building. That's energy. That's power for this building. But what about power for the people? How are we powered? God has given many things to us for us to be able to be his people. And so we want to think about Hillside, the church, the people, because that's really who the church is. And Paul tells us in this passage, in the first couple of verses, that he knows that the people in Corinth came to faith in Christ, not because they used their intellect, although he wasn't insulting them, but it wasn't a matter of their intellect coming to know who Jesus was. He tells them that it was the Spirit's power, it was God's power, that took the words Paul said, because God had gifted Paul with the ability to teach and preach. But to take those words that Paul said and using the Spirit of God to apply them to their hearts and bring them to the realization that they needed what Paul was teaching, and that is they needed Jesus Christ. God's plan is to save us. His plan was to save the people of Corinth. His plan was put into motion by sending his son Jesus Christ, motivated by love, to die on the cross so that we could have a savior, we could have redemption. God provided then the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And that is our hope. The hope of resurrection. This power that Paul talked about is power to transform the people of Corinth. And you and I know This power is still present for us to transform us. It is a power, first of all, of love. And we may not always think about love being power. We may not think about them as being synonyms, because we see in our world often those who are in power are there because they have position or wealth. And it may not be likely that they are using their power well. But in God's economy, love is power. For we also know that love is stronger than hate. Love is stronger than any force that the evil one can produce. Another form of power is God's wisdom. I was so blessed by your solo, Starland. Starland had told me that she was going to be sharing that song. I had never heard that song, The Perfect Wisdom of God. And I listened to it earlier, was so touched by it. Paul says, calls God's wisdom a mystery, indeed, a mystery that's been hidden. And if you noticed, Starland sang these words, God's matchless wisdom is the mystery of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ. God's wisdom is so different than human wisdom. You and I know that power comes into our lives when we profess faith in Jesus Christ. At that time, we're taught, and if we open ourselves up to this teaching, we discover that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. That gives us the ability to learn those things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Or as Paul calls it in this passage, the deep things of God. So although you and I will never have the wisdom of God, we have the opportunity to gain more from knowing God and begin to approach that goal of learning things from God. So it is with this idea of the Holy Spirit that I believe we need to focus this morning. Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples, and in the book of John, beginning in chapter 14, he's trying to tell them as much as he can before he dies. They have hung with him for 3 years. They have come to know each other intimately, and he's told them he's going to die. They don't want to hear that. They don't believe that. How could Jesus die? He's the Son of God. How could that happen? But he knows that's going to happen. He knows it needs to happen. So he tells them things. And one of the things he tells them is, I'm going to go away, but I go away so that the Spirit may come. And he calls the Spirit Parakletos, the one who will come alongside to help. He wants to comfort and strengthen them, knowing that he's leaving, but the comforter, the helper, the counselor is coming. I'm not leaving you alone. You will never be alone, he says. Well, this Holy Spirit is power. And how is that? We could spend the day exploring that, and we won't. I promise. We will not. But there is something really significant in this passage, I think, that God wants us to know today. In verse 12, Paul says that the Holy Spirit comes so that we might understand what God has freely given us. You see, we come to recognize that we need a Savior, that we need divine help if we're going to live a fulfilled life. We see God offering this gift of salvation, and it is a free gift. A free gift indeed, because God is loving and generous. So salvation is one of these free gifts, but there are many. And I think of one because I love to study Scripture, as many of you do. How many times has a passage of Scripture, a verse, even sometimes a word in a verse, you've read it before, you've read it many times, somebody's read it to you before, and there comes that time when you read it and your eyes are opened, and there comes an understanding you've never had before. Sometimes it's a conviction of sin, and you didn't realize that you were doing something that was sinful, but that verse comes to you. Or it could be a word of encouragement. It could be something that helps you know how to deal with a relationship that you're struggling with. This is the power of the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus told his disciples, and that was to speak truth, to teach truth to them. And this is what Scripture does, can do for us, led by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. I know you've had that happen. I've talked to enough of you to know that you've had that experience. Aren't we grateful for that? If you check out the Hillside webpage, and I hope you do, you'll see several places on the webpage that give statements of the beliefs of this church. In there we state, and I quote, "The Holy Spirit works to bring people to salvation and is a renewing presence and power in the life of the believer and of the church." A renewing presence and power. A renewing presence and power. And we find another place. "We believe that all are divinely gifted and called to develop and use their God-given gifts for the good of the church, home, and society. We believe that all," this is all believers, "we believe that all believers are divinely gifted and called to develop and use their God-given gifts." There's that word gifts again. Hillside believes what Scripture teaches, that we each, if we've come to Christ and received the Holy Spirit, we have one or more spiritual gifts that God wants to empower us to use. They're designed not for our own, not to show off, but they're designed to build up the body of Christ. They're designed to help serve other people. We also believe that at any given time in the life of a body of believers, there God brings in people with the gifts that God needs to put into use for the purposes that God has set aside that body of believers. So logic would say, here we are. We don't have everybody here today, but here we are, and we have gifts, and we're here to carry out God's purposes. If you have never had the opportunity to explore what your spiritual gifts are, I hope you'll decide to do that. We have information. It used to be on the website, but I understand it isn't now. But talk to me after the service if you want to find out your spiritual gift. We have several people in this body who are very knowledgeable about that and who could affirm you, who could help you decipher that. But suppose you already have identified your gift, and have you had an opportunity to find ways to put those gifts into practice? If God's brought us together in this body and given each of us a spiritual gift, then there's a way we can put it to use. The beauty of having God, the Holy Spirit, empower that is that it's really minimum work, minimum effort, because the Holy Spirit's doing it for a maximum benefit. It's not drudgery, it's not a duty. It is a joy, and the people that you help, the things that you do become a joy. A few of us attended a conference yesterday called Reimagining Evangelism. The presenter said a lot of good things, and I hope that we can explore this here in the future. But one of the things that stuck out to me was he said that we need to, our churches need to learn how to think like a missionary. Our churches, us as individuals, we need to learn to think like a missionary. And one way he said that we do that is to answer this question. What gifts has the Holy Spirit lavished on this church in order to bless our neighbors? Let me say that again. What gifts has the Holy Spirit lavished? I love that word, lavished. God doesn't do anything stingily. What gifts has the Holy Spirit lavished on Hillside Church in order to bless our neighbors? We broke up into groups in the afternoon so that we were with people we did not know. And that's a good thing. You get to hear from other people. So in groups of four, we talked about some questions, and this is one of the questions we talked about. So I was in a group with three other people, and I recalled for them what I said at the beginning, that we have this wonderful building that we make available to people. And so I think that is one way that we are blessing our neighbors. This church is over 100 years old. This church is a body of believers. Began in the early 1900s, but this building obviously is not that old. So we have been blessed to be able to make this available. One of the people in my group said their church has no more debt. They have paid off all of their debt. And he feels that that is a gift that has been given to their church. What are they going to do with that? Now that they're out of debt, they have financial resources that can bless their neighbors. So they're going to be investigating how does God want them to do that? We have to pay for the power that this building uses. You know, if you don't pay your electric bill, you don't have electricity, right? That's just the way it works. The power that God offers us is free. It is a gift freely given to us. We don't have to pay for it, but we do have to receive it. We do have to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is in us and wants to make use of our abilities through that. And that's a decision that we make initially when we receive Christ as our Savior, but it is an ongoing, day-by-day decision too, isn't it? Am I going to let the Holy Spirit work through me today? Am I going to do something that maybe I don't want to, but I know God's calling me to do that? That's a day-by-day thing. As I was preparing the sermon, John and I had a good conversation about power and energy. I have no training in engineering, and so we were just trying to have this back and forth so I could kind of grasp this. And you said something really profound, John, when he had an aha moment. I'm going to read this and think about it from electricity or natural gas point of view, and then we'll think about it spiritually. Power is a continuous flow of energy. As long as there's a source of energy available, and there is a way to use the energy. So that's coming from an engineer. That's power. That's energy. Okay? But can you hear the spiritual implications of that? Power is a continuous flow of energy. The Holy Spirit never stops, doesn't run out. Continuous flow of energy, as long as there's a source of energy available and the Holy Spirit is available and there is a way to use the energy. That's us. That's us. God's power supply is unlimited. If we don't accept the gifts of power, then we find ourselves limited in our effectiveness for Christ. We limit God's work in us individually and in this church. As we continue to explore life together as Hillside, I don't want to turn down God's offer of power. Do you? I want to have an ever-widening love for others. I want to open my heart more and more to people who have not received Christ. But I can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. I'm human still, and I need that help. None of us can do that apart from the Holy Spirit. That is Hillside power. Musicians, you are welcome to come. I invite you. If the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, but God's been speaking to you, and you want to respond in some way, we offer a variety of ways. One is to respond where you are. Another is to come forward for prayer, prayer about this or prayer about anything. I will be at the front. Roger Sitt is our elder of the week, and he will be in the back if you want prayer. You can come and pray here on the steps if you want to pray by yourself. We are going to be singing Be Thou My Vision. What a beautiful hymn of response, of commitment to God. I'll ask